Please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the handstaves and the spears. And they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of the 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamonah. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, and all them, and of all them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat the fat until ye be full, and drink blood until ye be drunken, of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they transgressed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgression have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwelt safely in their land and none shall make them afraid or none made them afraid when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It is once again evident in this passage that we're talking not about literal things, but about symbolic, typical things. There are several cues and clues that help us to understand this. Did you notice the length of time that they would be about burying the bodies of the slain? How long would it take? 7 years. 7 years in burying. One commentator that I read, Patrick Fairbairn, said, what this would mean then if we employ simply 100 men in burying for 7 years, that this would occupy some 36 million dead. Obviously, this is not a literal figure. This is typical. 7 months. 7 years then would they be in burning the weaponry that the enemy brought to them, such that they would not need to bring anyone into the forests to cut down trees. 7 years. And of course, these sevens are indicative of symbolical things and not literal things. There would be indeed a perfect destruction. And you know, all throughout the rest of the scriptures, we never hear about Gog and Magog again until the book of Revelation, in chapter 20. And so we understand that these are types, tropes, of things that are to happen yet future, even to our day. This speaks of the great and last day of the judgment. In chapters 37, 38, and 39, the Lord is speaking about His people and the days of Messiah, when once and for all, they will be sanctified unto Him such that they shall never turn away from Him again. And all of His and their enemies will be cast into the dustbin of history, never to rise again. This is what is being spoken about in Ezekiel chapter 39. So there are several things that these types and pictures teach us, right? Gog and Magog is typical of that large and ominous enemy of the people of God and of God Himself. So let us see that there is no army and there is no weapon formed against the church except that it comes from the hand of God as its origin. He sends these afflictions and He takes them away at His pleasure when His work is accomplished. Secondly, we see that the Lord does so for His own name's sake. Over and again we hear this in Scripture. Not for you, O house of Israel, will I do this, but for the sake of my great name. And so the Lord pursues. And when He glorifies His name, brothers and sisters, because we are called by His name, we will be lifted up as well. And then thirdly, we see that the Lord will judge those who afflict His people. They do not act with impunity, and they shall be clothed with shame for their rebellion and hatred of God and His people. And I have that as verses 1 through 7. Then in verses 8 through 22, we note the certainty. Notice, "Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken." And so it is of such certain futurition. I didn't make that word up. Louis Burkhoff uses it in his systematic theology. It is of such certain futurition that it is spoken of as being done. The Lord will bring these things to pass. There will be a day when all His and our enemies are gathered up, including Satan and his angels, and cast into the lake of fire. And God's people will be openly acknowledged, acquitted, and vindicated, and brought home forever. This day is coming. It is done, saith the Lord. There are markers in this section that show us that we have a passage of figures and types. Burning of implements of war for 7 years. Burying of bodies for 7 months. And then beyond that, there's a tour of men that go to find the bones that they didn't get in the first 7 months. They set a marker by them so that it will all be gathered up into this place called Hamon Gog. And Hamon Gog simply means, "Here lies the multitude of Gog. All the enemies of God brought together, judged, buried, done away with. The multitude of God." And we have discussed these things before in the book of Revelation and the parallel passages there. It is clear that John is familiar with the prophecy of Ezekiel. And I don't have an independent recollection of this, but I probably told you when we were introducing the book of Revelation, because this is my belief, that one cannot understand the book of Revelation rightly apart from a strong study of the prophecy of Ezekiel, because in many cases John evinces a dependence upon Ezekiel. And then the close of this section speaks of the people of God being secured in their faith unto the Lord their God when He brings these judgments upon their enemies. Then further, in the final section, "It shall be widely known that the Lord hid His face from His people for their sins." And so let this be understood by every Christian and by every church, that the Lord does send affliction for His people's disobedience. He will, because He is a faithful Father, chastise His people. He will bring affliction upon them. That affliction, brothers and sisters, will never be as foul or as destructive as we deserve. It will never be that. But it will be specifically designed by your omniscient Father for our reformation and our repentance. And so the Lord does send affliction. He will hide His face and deprive His people. And many times, in keeping with that very thing, they will be had in derision. For instance, a man leaves the church complaining about the preaching and joins elsewhere where no preacher is present. What has the Lord done? Well, He's taken away that which he wrongly held in derision. A man complains about the strictness of the Sabbath of a church and leaves it, and very soon he has ceased going to church and seeking the Lord on the Sabbath. The Lord has taken away the blessedness of the Sabbath day, that which he held in contempt. The children of Israel served some 400 years as slaves in Egypt, so that when they heard that fourth commandment, which was given at creation, codified in the Ten Commandments, their hearts might leap toward it. Someone spends the time they ought to spend hearing the preaching of the Word of God, texting and playing a game on some electronic device. It should be no surprise when the Lord removes their savor for the preaching of the Word, and the Lord turns His face from them. Any church or denomination that turns away from the means of God's appointments, of worship or ministry, and works in a worldly means should not be surprised when they lose their taste for the things of God as the Lord turns his face from them and they seek the pleasures and entertainments of the world instead of seeking him. However, even for these kinds of apostasy, there is hope, because the Lord will not lose even one that belongs to him. Why? Because he values his own name and his own honor. And so he will indeed cause those who have turned from him to repent. This is what the Lord says in the final portion. And then note his promise at the end of the chapter. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.